And we're ready. Tell me when we're ready to go. She's setting it. They pull them back onto the ship, right? This is a representation of a life preserver. Does anybody know what Pacifico is? Okay, there we go. just like any other Test, there we go. Try three. Just like any other life preserver that's thrown out to rescue people, they have to believe that it will save them. They have to know that that is their salvation from drowning. You know, our children are drowning in sin. They really are drowning in sin. I had statistics over the years of the numbers of kids that are involved in crime, and not just the perpetrators of crime, but the victims of crime. And boy, in the Richmond area, we don't have to look very far to see that. But you know, if you go down to Fairmont Avenue to Harding Elementary, and you just park on the side of the road there, find a place to park. Have some Kleenex with you. Sit there on the road at about 2:20 to 3:30 and watch hundreds and hundreds of children pouring out of that school. That's in your neighborhood, folks. It's in our church's neighborhood, too. Hundreds and hundreds of kids pouring out of that school. How many of them know about Jesus? How many of them have accepted Jesus as their Savior? How are we going to reach these kids? How are we going to get them to hear the gospel of Christ? They will receive Jesus. They will reach out and grab that life preserver of Jesus if they have the opportunity. Are we going to do it? Are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? Are you willing to throw out the life preserver? That's what the white page, the clean page of the wordless book is all about. Come to Jesus. Coming to Jesus. When we turn to the clean page of the wordless book, we're asking them to come. But let's review real quickly what the other pages are. We want to review this stuff continually with the verses so that you have it in your mind what you're going to use to present the gospel on each color. Are you ready? The gold color. The gold reminds us of heaven, God's home. God, the Creator God, that created everything in the whole wide world, grass, trees, even the pollen. He created everything. He created you. Do you know that God knows how many hairs are on your head? God knows that, and He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Make a circle. God's love doesn't have a beginning or an end. It goes on forever and ever and ever. And that's how long God will love you, forever and ever and ever. No matter what you go or what you do, God will always, always love you. But you know, He is a holy God. You know what holy means? It means He's perfect. There is no sin in Him. He has never done anything wrong. He loves us, but He has never done anything wrong. And one thing that can never be in heaven with God is sin. This dark color reminds us of sin. Can you think of things that you've done that God might call sin? You don't have to tell me. Just think of them. You know, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right here in the Bible in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That simply means everyone has done things that are bad. Nobody is as good as God is. In Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our sin separates us from God, and the payment or the penalty for our sin is to be separated from God forever and ever and ever. Sin is anything that we think or say or do that displeases God. It's probably anything you do that displeases your mom, too. You know, God knew that would happen. He knew that there would be sin that would separate us from Him. And so He had a wonderful plan right from the beginning. He had a wonderful plan. You know what that plan was? The plan was that He would send His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is God's Son. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Wait a minute. Are you from Mars? Doesn't matter. You're from this world. God created everything. God created you, and you are here. God loves you. He knew this would happen, so He sent His Son. For God so loved the world, God loved you. Put your name there. For God so loved Karen that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God knew that would happen. God knew that would happen, so He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus lived on this earth. Do you know that He was a child? You know the Christmas story, the baby Jesus in the manger. Well, guess what? Jesus didn't stay a baby. He grew up just like you're growing. He was 2 and 4 and 6 and 8 and 10 and 12 and 15. You know what? Jesus grew all the way to the age 33. And then the bad guys got Him. They took Him and they beat Him up. They beat Him up so bad, the Bible says His face didn't even look like a person. And they took Him and they put Him on a cross. And they put nails in His hands and in His feet and nailed Him to the cross. Does it hurt when you step on a nail? Oh boy, I stepped on a nail. You know what happens when you step on a nail? Blood. You know, Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Wow. We don't know why God set it up that way, but He did. He requires blood, the blood of a righteous, perfect person, to die for our sin. But you know what? Jesus didn't stay dead. He came alive again. They took him off that cross when he was dead. And they put him in his grave in a tomb. They rolled a big rock over it to make sure he wouldn't come out. And he laid there dead for one day, 2 days. And on the third day, up from the grave, he came alive, just as alive as you are. He came alive again to show us that he has the power to forgive us of our sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But the blood was shed. Jesus' blood was shed so that our sins, your sins, could be forgiven. Now, because of what Jesus has done for you, you can have your sins forgiven and you could be made clean on the inside. And now we're coming into our clean page, into the teaching of the clean page. I like to say it's as easy as ABC. Admit. We must admit that we have done things that are wrong. Remember when I asked you to think of things that you've done that God would call sin? Have you ever done something wrong? That's sin. Even just one time. That's sin. You must believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again on the third day. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, according to the scriptures. That's the Bible. The scriptures is the Bible. According to the scriptures, Christ died for our sins. In 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, according to the scriptures, Christ died for our sins and came alive again on the third day. Wow. We must believe that. We must choose Jesus and ask him to make us clean on the inside. That's how your sins are forgiven, by coming to Jesus and asking him to forgive you of your sin. Let's look at John 1:12. Let's look at John 1:12. This is a really neat verse. And I'm going to show you how to put your name in that verse. It's so cool. Did you know that you can put your name in the Bible? It says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Okay, say this verse with me. Let me read this verse to you. When I stop and point, I want you to say your name. Yet to who received him, to say your name, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Who did he give the right to become the children of God? If you believe in him. If you believe in him. Everyone. All. Yet to all who received him, he gave the right to become the children of God. You must accept Jesus. You must ask him to help you to forgive you of your sin. At this point, you have to help the child realize that this is a really important decision. This isn't just flippant thing that they're going to do. This isn't just, oh yeah, I'm going to say this prayer and we're going to be done. You know, a lot of our churches have these recital things that you recite in your service every Sunday. That's not one of these things. This is important, personal decision. And children understand the concept of important. It's a big word. It's probably the first three-syllable word that they understand. This is very important. I want you to think about this before you do it. Ask him the personal question, would you like to receive Jesus as your personal Savior? Oh, I wish to the Lord that people back at Rich Bible Church had that concept so many years ago, and they would have asked me, do you want to be saved? If you say, would you like to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin now? If he responds affirmatively, you continue. If he doesn't, you stop. You know, I'm so glad I've had the opportunity to talk to you today and to share my wordless book lesson with you. By the way, it's not a story, it's a lesson. Don't confuse it. It's a lesson, not a story. Stories of three little pigs. This isn't that. This is a lesson. If he responds affirmatively, you can continue. But if he doesn't, let me finish that thought. If he doesn't, I'm so glad that you were here to hear my wordless book lesson today. We'll talk about this another time, okay? All right, cookies are right over there. But if he says yes, I want to receive Jesus now. Now you need to find out how much this child really understood, and you'll find out how good of a teacher you were. No, you'll find out how much the Holy Spirit is convicting this child. You'll find out how much he really understood and how much is going on in his little heart and head. And this is very important. So these review questions that you have are very important. Why do you need the Lord Jesus? Why do you need that? Why do you need the Lord Jesus? The answer is because I'm a sinner, right? Or real often they'll tell you what they did. Okay, it's important at this point that this child knows that you're not his priest confessor, that you're not going to absolve him from anything, but that he has to recognize that he is a sinner. And if he starts telling you what he has done, you say, wait a minute, it's not me you got to tell. Who do you got to tell? God. What did Jesus do for you that you might have those sins forgiven? If he says he died on the cross for my sin, and he rose again on the third day, he's got the concept. There's all kinds of ways kids are going to say this. They don't have to have these exact words or these exact answers. They have to have the idea. Okay? This isn't a formula. This is not a mathematical type formula that they have to get exactly right. But they have to understand the concept. What happened to the Lord Jesus after 3 days? Oh, he came alive again. Do you believe that? A dead person came alive again? You know, that's kind of important to trip him up a little bit. Make him really think through that. This is an important decision. Do they really believe this? I know of a 12-year-old who went through a Christian school up where we live. And on the bus on the last day, they were taking a field trip to go to the Christian high school and look around the Christian high school that, you know, where these kids are fed into from the elementary Christian school. And they went to this Christian high school, and on the bus, this young man said to my friend's daughter, "Do you really believe all this God stuff?" He had been in Christian school for 6 years. He had sat in my chapels that I had taught in. I wanted to go talk to that kid. Of course, I didn't have that opportunity, but boy, I would have if I had. Do you really believe all this God stuff? He had come to a place in his life where he wasn't sure he believed this. So it's okay to ask these pertinent, important questions while you're counseling this child for salvation. Make sure he really clearly understands. How can you become a child of God? Let's look at our verse again, John 1:12. Not Ezekiel, John. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gives the right to be called the children of God. And then that question. Again, for the second time, you're asking him, would you like to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior right now? Now, notice I said receive, because that was the verse, that was the word that was used in this verse. When we get into our Bible lesson preps, we're going to give you other condition promise verses where there's a condition and a promise of salvation that you can use. But for the wordless book, we really like to stick with John 1:12. As many as received him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God. J. Vernon Overholser, the founder of Child Evangelism Fellowship. By the way, did you know he had a church here in Berkeley? He did. He's from this area. He used to say, at every step of leading a child to Christ, look for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to come into the life of that kid. What he was thinking was the gestalt idea. Oh, yes, I believe this. Yes, I need Jesus to save me from my sin. At every step, at every place, look for that, because it's going to be there. Now, when he says yes, what's next? Ask him to pray. Would you like to pray and ask Jesus to come into your life and forgive you of your sin? Well, some kids are going to be kind of shy. There's three or four things here that I want to talk about, kind of parentheses in your notes. Some kids are going to be really shy. They're not going to want to pray out loud. This really is a very important thing. The child needs to pray to Jesus and ask him for forgiveness. There is not a specific set of words he needs to say. I know people that have come to Jesus by saying, "Help me, Jesus." And that person is saved. I believe it. But a child, they really need to... They are concrete and they are sequential thinkers. They think, this is here and this is next. This is here and this is next. That's the way the child thinks, all the way up to about 10 or 12 years old. That's how they think. So, let's use that. Let's use that concept. What do they need to do? They need to pray to ask Jesus to forgive them of their sin. They need to do the ABCs. Admit. They have to admit that they are a sinner. They have to believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again for them. They need to choose to ask Jesus to make them clean on the inside. Whatever prayer he says must incorporate these three things. Admit, believe, and receive or make clean on the inside. Yes? I'm getting to that, yes. Some kids might not want to. So in that case, I would say, if you want to pray to Jesus right now, it's okay to say it silently. Say amen when you're done so I know you're done. Amen. Okay. Now, for the other, but before you give them that option, ask them to pray out loud. That's how you're going to know what they understand. You don't really know what they understood, except for the review questions you put them through. If they answered those review questions, it's pretty safe to let them say the prayer silently, if they had everything right. Otherwise, let them pray out loud. Now, this is really fun. I have had kids say this prayer, and then the next thing is, when they're done with that, amen, would you like to thank Jesus for what he's done for you right now? You know what that kid does? That is his very first devotions. And I've had one little girl that sat there and prayed for like 3 minutes out loud. I thank you that you love me. I thank you gave us the Bible. She just recited the Bible lesson back to us. And finally she said amen, and she opened her eyes and you had a big old smile on her face. At every point, look for the child's, the conviction in the child's heart that you might know. Boy, Vernon McGee and J. Overholser, they had it right. They had it right. Children can be saved. Remember, the prayer itself isn't what saves the child. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in his heart. I've been in a fair in Missouri where I was sharing the wordless book in this tent. And if you ever get a chance to do something like that, oh my goodness, go do it. It is so much fun. go out in the highways and byways and compel them to come in. By the way, you're going to have that opportunity during the Solano Stroll. I'm going to have a booth at the Solano Stroll, and I'm looking for wordless book teachers. Okay? We're going to do it. Our church is going to put up the tent. You're going to be under the Life Lutheran tent. But we're going to have an opportunity to do this. There's going to be one person out front that's going to say, want to hear the wordless book? Wordless book here. Wordless book here. And there's going to be a set of chairs and a teacher. We're going to present the wordless book. Just because the child prays doesn't mean that you're done. You're far from done. Now you're going to go into the growth page. You're going to understand this decision that was made. Whose child are you right now, according to our verse, John 1:12? As many as received him, to them, did you just receive Jesus as your Savior? To them he gave the right to be called what? The children of God. You know what the word for children of God is? Christian. To be a Christian. To be Christ-like. Whose child are you now? God's child. How do you? Now it's on. I think I keep hitting it. I think that's what's happening. Okay. Whose child are you now? God's child. How do you know? There's going to be several. Several possible answers to this question are, mommy and daddy's child. I belong to my mom and daddy. A preschooler will give you that answer almost every time. Is that true? Yes. Who else's child are you, according to our verse? I'm God's child. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the child of God. You are now. This is really crazy. We're going to give up on this mic in a minute. You are now in the family of God. Hey, you know what? A long time ago, I became a child of God. God is my Father. The Holy Spirit of God is living in me. God is my Father, and God is your Father. What is that? Okay, whose child are you now? God's child. How do you know? Well, mom and... Who's... Maybe I need a mic stand. This is an important part, and this is why we're being attacked. This is the prince of the power of the air messing with the electronic airways. I absolutely believe that. Yeah. We've already won. So here we go. Let me just get back to train of thought here. Okay. Whose child are you now? Mom and dad's child. That's right. You've just received Jesus as your Savior and God as your Father because he said, As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. So you're a child of God. I'm a child of God. That makes us what? Sisters and brothers. Sons and daughters. That's right, sons and daughters. We are all children of God when we receive Jesus as our Savior. Wow. How do you know that for sure? One right answer is, he's living in me. The other right answer is, it says so right here in God's Word. This is why it's so important to have the Bible with you and open it and point to the verses that you're talking about. Even let the child read the verse. That way they know this teaching is coming from God. And what does the Holy Spirit use to convict us of sin? The Word of God. What does He use to teach us? The Word of God. What does He use to lead us? The Word of God. This child's salvation isn't dependent upon your good teaching. Many times I have thought, you know, I could probably stand up here with just a picture of a wordless book and show the pictures and ask them if they wanted to be saved. Because if the Holy Spirit is working in their heart, it doesn't, you know, He's going to override me. He's going to override me. He's going to override you. Now that you are a child of God, there are some things He wants you to know about Him to help you grow. Your next verse is Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5 says, I will never leave you. Let me look at me for a minute. See your hand? It goes like this. I will never leave you. Say it with me. I will never leave you. You know, God loves you so much. He's right there living inside of you. He is there for you. There's another part of that verse. You know, you might sin. You might be tempted to sin. The next verse says, the same way with your hand, the Lord is my helper. One time I was standing in Sunday school in the classroom waiting for the kids to come in, and I see one of the J's, I can't remember. We had six boys with the first name started with J. I don't remember if this was Vicky's son. I can't think of his name anyhow. He was standing there and he was going like this. I said, what's going on? And he said, I'm asking God to help me with something. He had learned that verse. He had learned that verse. Another time I was teaching a class, and this little boy, he was sitting, Joseph, I remember his name. He was sitting there and he was pulling on his chair. He was sitting in a chair in the classroom and he was just pulling himself down in that chair so tight. And I said, what are you doing, Joseph? He said, I'm asking God to help me. I'm asking the Holy Spirit, he said. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to keep me in this chair. The Lord is my helper. It's not a hard concept. It's a very simple concept. It's a very, very true concept. Now that you're a child of God, there are still some things He wants you to know about Him to help you grow. How do you spell grow? G-R-O-W. That's the green page. We're going to talk about that later. That's the green page of the Wordless Book. That's the next session. So I'll leave that for Bob to talk about. But the question is, are you willing to send out that life preserver, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, so that the kids can hear the gospel, so that they can understand and hear that God loves them, that Jesus died for them, that He rose again on the third day to show them that He has the power to forgive them of their sin, to open the Bible and teach the Word of God, so that they can grab a hold of that life-saver of Jesus. and bring him into their life. What a change can be made in our area if we could just get into the schools and teach the kids about Jesus. And we can. We can. The Supreme Court of the United States has already decided that we can. It's called affirmative action. If they have Cub Scouts or Girl Scouts or Brownies or anything else in that school that meets on that school ground, we are allowed to be there too, with an after-school good news club reaching boys and girls with the gospel of Christ. What do we need to do that? 4 teachers. We have been praying for 5 years for 4 teachers. We've trained 35 or 40 people. You know how many teachers we've got? 2, Bob and I. We need 2 more. At least. You have to have a team of 4. That way if somebody's sick or gets asthma attack, right? Whatever happens, you have to have 4. And you have to be there every single week that there is school. No cancellations. Those are the rules. We have the lessons to teach, prepared, the visuals. We've got everything you need. It's called gospel in a bag. Everything you need is provided. Why aren't we going, church? Not just you, but all of our Bay Area. Why aren't there good news clubs in every school in the Bay Area? What is the church doing? How come we're not reaching kids? Why aren't we doing this? Why are our churches so low on children? All of our churches. The congregations are in the hundreds. The children's attendance is in the 20s. Why? We don't believe children can be saved. Maybe we don't believe children are lost. You got to believe they're lost before you're ready to throw out a life preserver. That life preserver concept takes a lot of work. A whole lot of work. But it takes compassion and understanding too. Kids are lost. People are lost. This world is lost. We're all drowning in sin. But there's hope. The hope is Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you for this class. Thank you for this wonderful, clean page of the Wordless Book where we can learn how to lead anybody to the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. In thy name we pray. Amen.